And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Whew, goes from like Huntsville on back to Chattanooga. I mean like from Tuscaloosa on back to Gadsden. I mean all the way down to that prettiest little town on the plains called Auburn, stretching across the border to Fort Benning. Yes, I called it Fort Benning. And big old patches of northwest Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right, going to stay caught up with those text messages best I can. David from Florence said, the Federalist Heritage Foundation and Judicial Watch websites have detailed articles about lawfare and the courts. Okay. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. And yes, they do, and I use them quite often. Red from Tony, Alabama says, it's corned beef Monday for St. Patrick's Day. Okay. John from Huntsville, you about to say something?
I forgot to wear my green today. Hopefully we don't get pinched before the show's over.
Well, let's see. All right. John from Huntsville says, Phil, spectacular monologue also. Phil, did you see Auburn lose to Tennessee? I'm aware. Yes, fully. And JP, did you see Alabama get absolutely demolished by Florida? By the way, JP says, I thought you pre-recorded off the bench episode was very entertaining, but I miss being able to text into the show. I just want you to know that I've already got my ESPN March Madness bracket filled out. Feeling pretty good.
It will be a progressive filling out for me over the next.
Oh, you're not
going to
commit in advance on it, huh?
Well, no, I just, you know, I fill it out. I gotta really focus and fill out perfectly, you know. So it's probably going to take me up until Friday to have a bracket done.
What'd that CNN guy say? It was one in a quintillion of getting a perfect bracket.
One in nine quintillion or something like that. You had a much greater chance of winning the lottery and getting killed by a shark. Than winning a much greater chance. Yeah,
but there's only X number of teams. How can the odds be that high?
I mean, 64 teams, a different outcome per game, and then different outcome of that outcome, and then you go down the rabbit hole. It's hard.
Holy smokes! All right, but which ones have the prettier uniforms? That's how you decide.
I guess
the way
it
works.
For some people, I guess. Yeah.
Alex Mathen says, "You were not kidding about the child catcher." Yes, yes. Colonel Williams, she says, super creep on steroids. I always thought that was like one of the creepiest characters ever put on any kind of, and it was a kid's movie. And it says, in other great news, Limestone County Sheriff's Department arrested 9 traffickers yesterday. Oh, awesome. Interestingly, they were of every age and color, diabolical DEI, I would say. Wow, no kidding. Allie, thanks. Marie from Madison, I am amazed at the people who were mad because the weather in Alabama did not turn out to be as bad as predicted, even sent hateful messages to meteorologists like James Spann. I and many others are praising the Lord because we actually held prayer calls and meetings throughout the week, crying out for God's mercy on our region. And I know that because of who He is, His faithfulness, He heard and answered our prayers. Listen, Charlene and I prayed over every corner of our property. We did. We stood right there on the back deck and we just talked over the entire property, prayed over it, and then prayed over where our friends and family were, and then prayed over our community and our state. And I really feel like, yes. I really feel like that there was intervention because there were times when James Spann would go, okay, look at that right there. That just happened. All right, everybody get to your safe place. And then a few minutes later, he'd go, well, watch right here as it fades away. I mean, and I know tornadoes do that, but it also just felt right. But there was still damage. I think there was something like 15 tornadoes that sparked at some point, confirmed on the ground.
In Alabama alone. Yeah, the whole line had like up to 50 or something.
And
since
Winterboro,
Friday to Saturday.
Yeah. And Winterboro made national news. I saw it up on Fox a minute ago. If you're familiar with the schools in Winterboro, beautiful old schools built out of stone and a lot of damage. Fritzy from Huntsville says, whole pack pasture was flooded, about 15 acres. How's the saying go? When you get lemons, you make lemonade? Fritzy from the Arsenal. And by the way, Phil, the question last week, I'm a male with no pronouns. Thank you. Could you put that up there, like under his name, put Fritzy, parentheses, male. No pronouns. Now we know. I don't have to say thank you, ma'am, or anything else. I just say Fritzy and know exactly who I'm talking to. And then lastly, Bruce from Springville says, in reference to Biden's auto pen, hopefully it'll all blow up in the open and all the pardons will be declared void. I agree. I absolutely agree. I mean, there's always that suspicion that that's the kind of thing that was happening. But if we find out that people are usurping the authority of the presidency for their own agenda items, for their own nuances, or just for the matter of perpetrating a fraud, the public needs to know that. And we need to know it not just in that we see it now and we want action taken retrospectively. We need to know it for the prospective action that should be taken. Like, how do you safeguard it? What policies will be in place from now on? Do we do away with the auto pen altogether? I mean, it's the president of the freaking United States. You can't just get the papers to him to sign. So the fact that we have to use an auto pen, I think that was only designed for when there are massive amounts of documents and he has been given the authority and he writes something down that says, I hereby authorize the use of the auto pen for these particular documents. One signature of his, followed by others of that machine. It's not meant to be the substitute president. It's not meant to be the automaton that just runs the world. And that's exactly what was happening. And it's messed up. I mean, it ticks me off. I've got a signature stamp at my law firm. It never gets used unless my secretary says, you're going to be out with that letter needs to go out today. Do you want me to go ahead and use your stamp? I'll say, yes, please do. But beyond that, I sign everything myself. I'm not the president of the United States, and I get that. But you know what? I think the burden is higher on the presidency than it would be on me and my law firm. I mean, he's running the friggin' free world.
Well, at least if he's going to auto-pen it, at least tell him what he's auto-penning.
And the fear is they never did that either.
Because, I mean, we talked about his interaction with Mike Johnson where he was completely oblivious to stuff he did. So, like, if as long as he was given the okay and, like, you know, for what he's signing, that's still not right, but that's a lot better than him not even knowing what he's supposedly signing in the first place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, hey, listen, I'm gonna kick off Dipper number one here. Because this one, in my opinion, is one of the biggest stories, not just of the weekend, but it's one of the biggest stories perhaps of the year. And it's getting some play, it's getting some airtime, but it's also getting a lot of, you know, controversial mishmash that is not always accurate. So I'm going to try and give you the common sense, conservative slash lawyer slash pundit Phil Williams description of what just happened. So if you're not familiar, here's the thing. Let me jump in. Number one, triple dipper, deportation machine. All right, the deportations are fully and completely underway. Something like 18,000 deportations by the Trump administration in the first 60 days. That's pretty good. It's not where they want to be, but it's pretty good. But what we're also looking at is a significant new agenda item when the president came out and declared that certain gangs, cartels, and otherwise are enemies of the state. Using a law from 1798, y'all, from 1798, called the Alien Enemies Act of 1798, it allows him to deport without a hearing and with reduced measures for due process anyone who he has deemed to be an enemy of the state that is in some way attempting to invade and do harm to the United States. So what did President Trump do? Well, the law is still on the books, right? The law is still there. It's been there since 1798. Well, okay. If it hasn't been revoked, then it's still active law. Now, you can look at something and say, written for a different time, no longer applies, but you have to challenge it first. You can't just say, well, that doesn't apply anymore because it's old. It doesn't work like that. In fact, there's a great Tom Homan. I love Tom Homan. I'm getting to be more a fan of Tom Homan every day. Tom Homan was asked by a reporter, I think this morning, flat out asked, you're using a 200-year-old law. Tom Homan just looked at him and said, it's not as old as the Constitution, and we still pay attention to that, don't we? And he turned around and walked off. The man's right.
It's a 14-second clip if you wanted to play it.
Oh, you got that?
I got it right here.
Play it, man.
Oh, let me cue it up. There's.
What do you say to those who claim you're using a 200-year-old law to circumvent due process?
An old law? Not as old as the Constitution. We still pay attention to that, don't we?
But some would say this is
how many more times do you plan on?
She's walking away. The only thing missing was munching an apple again.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen that, he just walked past a whole bunch of protesters the other day just munching an apple like he could care less. But so this past weekend, I believe it happened on Friday night, the Trump administration got 238 Tren de Aragua members and 21 MS-13 members and deported them to El Salvador. El Salvador, you might say. Why El Salvador? Well, I'll tell you why. Because El Salvador's president, Bukele. Am I pronouncing that right? How do you pronounce his name? Bukele?
I think it's Nayib Bukele, maybe?
Bukele.
I don't know.
Okay. Sounds African, but it's not. But anyway, El Salvador's president has been doing epic work to clean up his own country. They have gone from being one of the murder capitals of the world to one of the safest in all of the hemisphere. So how did he do that? Well, he had one weekend where he took office, and soon thereafter, there was a weekend where there were 87 murders, cartel-related, and he was sick of it. So he declared a state of emergency. He built a new prison. This prison is, I'm going to describe it for you in more detail, but it's called the Sicot Prison. And this prison is harsh, and this prison is designed to break their will. And he began carting away these murderous cartel MS-13 Tren de Aragua-style members and locking them up. And suddenly the nation was safe again. They had a 91% decrease in homicides nationwide. So the Trump administration contacted President Bukele and said, hey, what do you think if we start sending you some of these honchos? We'll box them up for you and pack them on down. And he said, send it. So on Friday, 238 Tren de Aragua members, 21 MS-13 gang members were deported from this country, and they went down there to join thousands who have already been deported. But these are criminal aliens, which are now going to the Sicot prison, where they will have their will broken. And listen, if you haven't seen the video, the video itself is epic. And I would encourage you, go to my Twitter feed. If you're on X, go to @SendPhilWilliams. You can also see it on our Facebook page, which is also @SendPhilWilliams on Facebook. And check it out. It is now posted. There's about a six-step thread that I've got on there. It starts off with that video of when they arrived. And I mean, I'm talking about dragging them off the plane, forcing their heads down between their knees, shaving their heads while everybody watched, shaving off their beards if they had one, stripping them down, putting them in nothing but a white T-shirt and a pair of white shorts and white socks, and then with one man on each arm and their legs and arms shackled, taking them off to the cages, where they will live on nothing but frijoles and rice for the next however so long.
I'll add this about Bukele, too. There's a clip out there of him describing these gangs like Tren de Aragua, MS-13 and such, and talked about how rampant the satanic worship is within these gangs. Yeah. And like, these aren't just, oh, illegal immigrants and you're racist if you send them out. These are demonic, satanic gangs that literally want nothing but to just kill everybody in sight. So
they create havoc.
Like it, which is what drives me nuts with this judge thinking he's going on a, like, I'm bucking the system, bring him back. Do you realize the people that
we haven't gotten to that point yet?
You know, so
you're taking off that.
Sorry, I'm going down a rabbit hole.
That's right. That's after the break. Let's take the break right now. I'm going to come back and tell you what a judge tried to do. Wow, and like, it's caused all kinds of outcry. Can he do it? Can a judge stop the Trump administration from deporting criminals? Well, he tried, and I'll tell you what happened. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Hey, shout out to one of our Right Side ruffians. He's an OG ruffian, Rayson from Hawaii, who tunes in often. And he just posted on the Facebook live stream that by virtue of Starlink, while he is in flight from Hawaii to Los Angeles, he's able to watch it. So hit me some applause and let's give the man a thumbs up. Rayson, we're glad you are in the audience, brother. All right, let's do some stuff here. So I was talking about the deportation machine. I'm trying to lay the foundation for what's happening next, and I'm going to give you a few insights on this that I don't think anybody else has made. But I'll first tell you, so Friday, with 260, 62, I think it is, Tren de Aragua and MS-13 gang members being shipped down to the notorious Sicot prison in El Salvador. Oh, by the way, a U.S. federal district court judge tried to stop it. He literally held a hearing, and I'm going to give the breakdown of the hearing in a minute. He literally held a hearing in which he tried to invoke injunctive relief on behalf of the plaintiffs who were complaining on behalf of these gang members. He tried to establish an injunctive. Back up, Phil. Use your words. He tried to establish an injunction and to order that the planes either A, not be able to take off, or B, turn around in mid-flight and come back. Didn't do it. The Trump administration said, well, you're too late. They're already outside of U.S. airspace. You have no jurisdiction to turn them around. And the president of El Salvador, and I love this, like more than I could possibly tell you, I love this. The president of El Salvador tweeted out a headline showing that the judge had tried to order the plane to turn around, and all the president of El Salvador said was, oopsie, too late. Just give me some laughter or something. That is epic. That is just, that's the president of El Salvador saying, oopsie, too late. So yeah.
It's not even his country, by the way. Like he's taking them into his country from another country and is still, you know, poking fun at
them. Although some of them were wanted in El Salvador. I think the MS-13 members, if I'm not mistaken, were wanted and some of them were very high value targets, like upper level leadership that they had a desire to get locked away for a while. But not the bulk of them.
I guess my point is we have a foreign president who cares more about our borders than our own judges.
Wow. So this judge, Judge Boasberg, what was his thinking? Well, apparently he's questioning whether or not the Trump administration is allowed to use the Alien Enemies Act of 1798, because had the president not invoked that and declared these to be enemy combatants, in essence, then they would have additional rights of due process and appeal, and they could not be just deported without going through all the hearings that are attached to that. I mean, the process would have been lengthy, and this is a new and different day. This is like putting in the express lane for deportation here. So yeah, that happened. Now, what do we know about Sikhot Prison? Well, Sikhot Prison is no fooling, y'all. Watch the video on my Twitter feed. This is legit. Sikhot is a notorious terrorism confinement center, they call it. It houses the country's most dangerous criminals. It's one of the largest prisons in all of Latin America. Has a capacity to hold up to 40,000 inmates. They set them up, by the way. It's got like 57 or 58 acres of ground with 8 cell blocks. And the cell blocks are just tiered metal bunks. No mattresses, no bedding, no windows, 2 toilets. A bunch of guys have to share. And a couple of water basins. Inmates are confined in there for up to 23 and a half hours a day. They're given 30 minutes outside for exercise. And that's it, in a controlled area. And they're going to eat the same thing every day. Beans, rice, and pasta with no meat. Served without any variation. That's it. And they also, by the way, are allowed no visitors, no phone privileges. And the prison actually has a cell phone signal blackout area that extends up to a mile and a half around it so they can get no bootleg communication devices in. So this is the last place they want to go. They come in there, and oh, by the way, they also split them up. So you're not going to have a bunch of Trinidad Aragua leaders with a bunch of their own soldiers controlling a cell block. They split them up, and they don't give them an opportunity for that kind of fraternization. It's amazing what's just happening. And that all happened on Friday. And there's more to come. When we get back, I'm going to play you a video from Tom Homan again that is, oh my word, it's more of what you want. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live from the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two. We're still in this Dipper number one deportation machine, and I got an audio we're going to play for you here momentarily. What'd you have on that? You said you had something came up too. What was that?
We got a comment on our X live stream from Kip. It says, he says, from a meme, stranded astronauts thank Musk and Trump for their rescue. However, a federal judge is looking to block and deport them back to space.
God. That's classic. That also just smacks of where we are right now, too.
It's like it's funny. It's funny because it's true, unfortunately.
Now, listen, I'm gonna be honest with you. There's a couple things I think I need to cover down here. I am not a disrespecter of judges, and I'll go on the record and say I do not want the Trump administration to make it a habit of disregarding judicial orders. I don't think they did in this place. I think they were correct in that the action was already underway and that the judge's order was after the fact. You can't turn back what has already happened. The judge could order that what happened shouldn't happen, but he can only rule prospectively when it comes to injunctions. Injunctions are to prevent things from happening, not to reach back and stop what's already happened from happening. So there's that. Now, the judge can sanction someone if he's already issued it. Like, for instance, now the judge could say, if you do it again, I'm going to sanction you. How he would do that, I don't know. But the reality is the Supreme Court of the United States is probably going to have to rule on this. Does the Alien Enemies Act of 1798 apply? And I think arguably it does. Why do I say that? Because the Alien Enemies Act of 1798 has been used multiple times. Now, not always for the right, you know, in retrospect, sometimes it was rough, like the incarceration of Japanese American citizens in World War II. That was under the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. And I think it was an overreach. You look back on it and you go, oh, wow, y'all, really? Every American loving person of Japanese descent, you incarcerated them? I mean, that you just look back and go, what? This is not that, though. These are organized criminal and cartel actions that have invaded our country and abused our systems and come here illegally to commit more crimes, and they have now been declared enemies of the state. So the only question is, do you have to have a uniform on with a patch on your sleeve to be declared a true enemy of the estate, of the state? And I don't think so. I believe the Trump administration knuckled down on this, got their review and got it in order, and did what they had to do. Let me find real quick before we play the Tom Homan clip. I've got a exclusive on the timeline. Here it is. I pulled this off an a website called justsecurity.org. So justsecurity.org says, here's how things went on Friday. 5 o'clock p.m. This is late. This is an emergency hearing. It's an after-hours hearing on a Friday afternoon. Judge Boasberg asked the government attorney, that's the Trump administration attorney, whether or not deportations were imminent in the next 24 to 48 hours. The government attorney says he doesn't know, but he cannot confirm or contest whether it's happening at that time. I mean, this is not like it's out there. There's a bit of operational security going on. The ACLU attorney tells Judge Boasberg they're aware the U.S. government's very rapidly moving people to planes to El Salvador. Why the ACLU attorney knew that, I don't know. So obviously Tom Homan believes there was a leak. We'll talk about that in a minute. That's at 5 o'clock. Before 5:22, though, right before 5:22, in response, Judge Boasberg ordered the hearing to take a break so the government attorney could obtain official information on what was happening and set the hearing to begin again at 6 o'clock. So they took a break. At the same time, at 5:45, the flight took off from Harlingen, Texas, to El Salvador. At 6 o'clock, the hearing resumed. Somewhere around 6:50, at 6:50, the judge issued a ruling from the bench for the government to turn around any planes that were carrying non-citizens subject to the Enemy Aliens Act presidential proclamation, saying any plane containing those folks that's going to take off or is in the air needs to be returned to the United States. He also said, this is something you need to make sure it's complied with immediately. Guess what? The Trump administration said, pound sand. They're already outside of U.S. airspace. You can't reach back and change that which has already happened. So they didn't. Now, Tom Homan was asked about this. Got the audio clip. I'm going for audio clip number one, if you don't mind. Actually, it's like 1.2 since you had that up a minute ago. That was pretty cool. Tom Homan interviewing with Lawrence Jones on Fox, talking about this very thing. Go ahead and play it.
Trump treated them as enemies, and we did exactly what we should have done. Again, President Trump is going to make this country safe again. He's going to do it one illegal alien at a time. And this weekend, we did 261.
So Tom, what's next? Because I'm getting a little worried about the manpower. These guys they have to be tired. You got 30 guys in a stack going on different busts every single day. You're going to run out of money. It doesn't look like you're getting support from the Democrats on this. You're going against the judges now. What's next?
Another flight. Another flight every day. The teams are going to be out there every day. Every day, the men and women of ICE are going to be in the neighborhoods of this nation arresting criminal, illegal alien, public safety threats, and national security threats. Lawrence, you're not going to stop us. We made a promise to the American people. The President Trump has made a promise to American people. We're going to make this country safe again. I wake up every morning loving my job because I work for the greatest president in the history of my life, and we're going to make this country safe again. I'm proud to be a part of this administration. We're not stopping. I don't care what the judges think. I don't care what the left thinks. We're coming.
Yeah. I just
you got to love that. So, yeah, what's next? Another flight. Now, that being said, I need to touch on something that I have not seen covered by anybody else. Because what you're watching right now is the manner and means by which military members are taught to handle POWs. Truthfully. So as an Army officer, I can tell you that we were always taught in the securing of enemy combatants, there are what we call the five S's. Search, segregate, safeguard, silence, and speed to the rear. Search, segregate, safeguard, silence, and speed to the rear. It was ingrained in us. We had to go through training. It was one of those things they would quiz you on. In the event of POWs, enemy combatants taken on the battlefield, what do you do? The five S's. You first search them. You make sure you know what they've got on them. You take all the intel you've got. You get everything. You segregate them. What does that mean? Well, you split them up. You don't let the hierarchy be with the foot soldiers, so they can't give them direction on what to do and how to resist. You also don't want them to get their stories together lined up. And then, oh, by the way, you don't want them to be able to organize effectively. That's exactly what's happening right now in CCOP prison. They split them up intentionally with an inability to organize under their own gang affiliations. You safeguard them. What does that mean? Well, first of all, you provide security for yourself by making sure that they are detained correctly. You don't mess around with it. There's no pussyfooting around here. You're going to shackle them. You're going to bind them. You're going to make sure that they don't have the ability to escape. And you also are protecting them at the same time. That's exactly what's been happening on all of these. They have been efficiently detained. They have been efficiently and firmly transported. And when they arrived on scene, go watch the video I've got posted on my Twitter and Facebook right now. They are offloaded. And y'all, I mean, they were manhandled. They were herded like cattle, and I don't mean that lightly. You watch the video, it's epic. And then the next one is silence. What is that? You don't allow communications. You don't allow them to communicate with each other. You don't allow them to communicate with outside. And what did they do at CCOP prison? They made sure they have entire cell phone blackouts in the area. You can't smuggle in a phone and get to talk to somebody. You don't get visitors. You're not allowed to communicate to the outside world and give directions to people out there to conduct operations the way you want. And then the last one, what is the last one? Well, the last one of the five S's is you literally speed them to the rear. What does that mean? Taking an enemy combatant, you don't hang around with them. You don't tote them around with you. You get them transported to the rear collection point so they can be processed as POWs and any intel gathered. That's exactly what's happening now. They are speeding them out of the country. They're not playing. They're doing the five S's. So while this judge is looking at this and saying, well, you know what I see? I see a violation of due process, and I'm not sure you can use the Enemy Combatants Act. Well, he may have a right to question that. And I do believe we're going to have to get that resolved so that we can move forward without other judges stepping in the way. But the truth of the matter is they are being handled using the five S's that we're trained in the military to use for enemy combatants. Oh, by the way, that's because they were named as such under the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. So how about that? You got a little bit of lawyer feel, a little bit of army feel mixed together. This is what we're seeing, right? And this is, by the way, exactly what we voted for. This is exactly what we voted for. We did not vote for more processing and we're going to hold them and make sure they have all the right food and we're going to give them all kinds of special accommodations and they're going to have rights under the law and they're going to have appeals that will last for 15 years and they're going to screw that. You came into our country with your violent gangs and cartels trafficking people, trafficking drugs, murdering, raping, establishing mayhem, subverting entire city blocks in some places like Aurora, Colorado, taking over apartment complexes, you know, just basically doing whatever you felt like doing because the last administration had no kahunas to deal with it. And now, by God, there's a new sheriff in town. Now it's the OK Corral. Now you just stepped one step too far and justice came back. And guess what? It came back hard. And old boys are now being shipped off to the place they don't want to be. The judge may not like it, and Judge Boasberg may have to deal with it. And guess what? The Trump administration may have to deal with Judge Boasberg, and I get that. But Judge Boasberg was wrong to say turn your planes around in midair. He was way outside of his bounds. He's going to have to rule on the merits of the case sometime soon as to whether we can continue to do this. And then it's going to get appealed all the way up because one side or the other is going to appeal it all the way up to SCOTUS, and we'll see if SCOTUS takes it up. But there is already legal precedent for this. And I don't mean like it's happened before we've used it. I mean like there have been lawsuits before to determine whether we can use it. This is absolutely what we voted for. And there's no doubt in my mind this is a legal fight worth having. Why? Because we voted for this. We wanted this as a people. This, in fact, is a mandate. One of the biggest issues in the election season was this very thing. And when you have Americans being trounced on and killed and, you know, their lives destroyed because the Biden administration allowed these criminals in and gave them the run of the farm. Well, guess what? Those days are over. And the Trump administration is fixing it. And thank you, by the way, to President Bukele from El Salvador. And the Trump administration sent him a major thank you, too, and said, we will not forget this. All right, more of this. We're going to take some text messages when we get back and clean things up. Coming up bottom of the hour, we'll switch gears and go to talking about Indivisible, the new Black Lives Matter, with our friend Emily Jones calling in. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades in here. All right, so something else you might want to know when you're having those water cooler conversations or talking to your friends at Sunday school and you want to sound like you really got it going on, I'm going to give you some more information you might want to know about this Aliens Enemies Act of 1798. So first of all, know this. It is still existing law. Anybody who says otherwise is wrong. Do laws sometimes become outdated? Yes, but they're on the books until they're not. There's that. So until they are either reversed, abrogated, or modified by legislative action, they are still the thing. So the idea that a member of the media would ask Tom Homan, but aren't you using a law that's very, very old, like 200 years old? His point was perfect. He said, it's not as old as the Constitution, and we still pay attention to that. So yeah, the Constitution. It's still existing law, right? Dates back quite a while. What, 1780s, I believe? The bottom line is this. The Alien Enemies Act of 1798, it does grant that the President of the United States will have absolute authority to detain and deport those who he believes have wrongfully entered our country with evil intent if they have been declared under the auspices of that law to be enemies of the state. Some would think that means, oh, it's only like if it's like an army, like you caught a bunch of Mexican army guys running across trying to raid a border town. No, we're not talking Pancho Villa here. And the cases that I could give you is this. I'm going to caveat by saying I've not read the case. I'm going off a citation. But the case is Ludecky v. Watkins. Ludecky v. Watkins. L-U-D-E-C-K-E. Ludecky v. Watkins. It's a Supreme Court case from the late 1940s. It's after World War II. It doesn't relate to the Japanese incarceration. It relates to one German individual who was in the United States illegally, had been here since the 30s, actually, but he was deemed to be a threat to the United States. And under the Alien Enemies Act, he was deported in what, like, I think 1947, something like that. Anyway, the bottom line is it appealed all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States, and the Supreme Court ruled in Ludecky v. Watkins explicitly that not only can the president deport these legal foreign residents, even if they weren't members of a foreign army, but that the courts also had no authority to even review the president's decision to do so. Here's a quote from the Supreme Court. The Alien Enemy Act precludes judicial review of the removal order. You're not hearing that talked about much, but that apparently is the law. So, I think that the Trump administration has every right to pursue what it's doing. I think the court has every right to question it, and I think the court will have to yield to Supreme Court precedent that says, in the event that the president has dotted his I's and crossed his T's, there's really nothing the courts can do. I'm saying deport them and deport them now. Get them out of here. All right, I got a bunch of text messages, and I'll have to get to those here in a little bit. You guys are amazing. We're going to come back after this break, and we're going to have Emily Jones. We're switching gears. We're going to be talking about the new BLM. Who is this? Yes, the new Black Lives Matter. What are they? They're called Indivisible. That's their name. Indivisible. They're also funded by Soros. Oh, they're also rioting, not rioting, but protesting in Huntsville today. Who are these people? What's their game, man? What do they want to do? Well, if you heard my monologue earlier in the show, you know that I think they're part of the anger industrial complex. They're the ones who literally out there, that's what they do. Without a true sense of morality, they just foment anger and discord. And they in their outrage, they go and they demand things. And you will hear us. Don't you know you work for us? I got news. It doesn't work like that. There's still decorum and there's still expected behavior in a civil society. And you don't just march on someone's office and demand they meet with you. They might have other things going on and other constituents they're trying to serve. But all that to say, we're going to talk with Emily Jones about what she's discovered about this group called Indivisible that is all over the nation and apparently even in Huntsville, Alabama. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.